Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Shabbos, daf Tzadi Zayin. We find ourselves on the bottom of Tzadi Vav Amud Beis. We started yesterday the 11th parak of Shabbos. This is parak Hazorik. And we're discussing the Malach of Hotzah. How is it different in the beginning of the Masechta? Well, in the beginning of the Masechta, we're talking about one specific case where you had an usher, you had an ani. The ani was outside the house, the usher was inside the house, and we were working on a transfer between the usher and the ani, and the ani and the usher. In our parak over here, we're discussing Otsah from a more global perspective. We're talking about various versions or varieties of the malacha of Otsah. We're talking about Zorek and Moshit and Mavir. And so every variation, or if you will, Tolada of the malacha of Otsah is described over here. What we learned yesterday are basically a couple of Toladas of the malacha of Otsah. We learned yesterday about Zorek, which means that if you throw something from Rishus Yachid or vice versa, from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachid, you're going to be chayv, even though you have not actually transported the item all the way, but still, you're chayv for Zorek. Yesterday, the Gemara spent some time trying to figure out where exactly it was in the Mishkan. Maybe the women with the needles, throwing the needles, maybe the women throwing the shuttles. But the Gemara ended up saying, Gemara Gemirullah, it is a tradition that we have, it's part of the Halacha Moshe Misinai, that Zorek is a subcategory of the Malach of Otsah. We learned yesterday also about this malacha called Moshit. Moshit means passing. I'm passing from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid with a Derech Rishus HaRabim in the middle, with a Rishus HaRabim in the middle. So that, I got up yesterday from my seat, can you believe it? I drew on the board, and I made a diagram of the wagons, passing the beam from one wagon to the other wagon, and so that now becomes the prototype of what exactly the malacha of Moshit is. Remember, we spoke about the Rashi yesterday, where Rashi back in the Mishnah says that Moshit must be where I passed it over the Rishus HaRabim, but it was above 10 Tfachim over the Rishus HaRabim. So really, it's a unique malacha in of itself, this malacha called Moshit, where it involves passing from one Rishus HaYachid to another, it involves passing over Rishus HaRabim, it involves passing over the 10 Tfachim of Rishus HaRabim, and, I didn't make this point yesterday, but I'll make it right now, and it involves two people. Meaning the only way that we're going to do the Malach of Moshit is by passing it from one person to the other. So in other words, that's Shnaim Shasua, that's two people doing it. Now you'll remember, we learned earlier in the Masechta, just a short couple days ago, Shnaim Shasua, two people doing a Malach, so that's Pater. But the Malach of Moshit is such a unique Malacha that you're going to be chayiv in this Malacha called Moshit. So those are all the different variations of Hotzah that we discussed yesterday. And we continue the discussion today. We are on the bottom of Tzadi Vav Amud Beis, right after the words Gemara Gemirullah. It's about six wide lines down on the Amud. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel.
Question, the passing of the beams mm-hmm. from one wagon to another wagon seems like an awfully tedious way to load up a wagon. Back a wagon up.
Yeah, you know, I saw Rabbi Kornfeld on his site. He discussed that as well. He tried to explain why it is that they did it specifically in that way, where they lined up the wagons and then they just passed it backwards. I'm not sure if you'll be satisfied with his answer, but he at least addresses the question. I saw him discuss it. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mekoshesh, Mavir, Arba Amos, Bershus, Rabba Mava. Okay, there's a story in Chumash. You're familiar. The Mekoshesh ate them. Now the word Mekoshesh, it's a funny word. We don't know exactly what it means. In fact, as we're going to see over the course of the next couple lines of Gemara, we're going to have three different interpretations of what it means. But here's what we know. In other words, they were out in the Midbar. This person was Mekoshesh ate them. He was doing something with wood, which involved the Chil Shabbos. And he did it B'mezid. And they went to Moshe and said, here's a guy who was Mechal Shabbos B'mezid. What do we do with him? So Moshe says, I don't know, it's a good question. So they locked him up, asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu said he's Mechal Shabbos. And then they ultimately stoned him. Okay? This is the story of Mekoshesh ate them. So our Gemara over here is going to be focused just on one particular question, and that is, what did he do? What was the Chil Shabbos involved? So the first opinion, which obviously fits in line with what we're learning right now in our 11th parak of Shabbos, is that he was Mavir Abamos. He took an item and moved it 4 amos in the Rishus Rabim. Okay, that is opinion number one. Now in the Braisa, there are different opinion. He was Tolish. He plucked a plant out of the ground. And the third opinion is that he was Ma'amir. He collected the wood and he put it into one pile, and that's the malacha of Ma'amir. The Gemara says, okay, now, all well and good, What difference does it make? Meaning, he was Mechal Shabbos, and we need to know specifically how he was Mechal Shabbos, meaning, what do we learn from all this?
Yes, Basra, no?
Huh? Basra. I was thinking about that as well. It's interesting you brought that up, because for the Hasra, they didn't know that he's put to death, so... Right, so what exactly were they warning him? Although I think, somewhere in the recesses of my mind, I think they knew he was going to be put to death. It was just a question of what method of the death penalty he's going to receive. So in other words, they were able to warn him, if you do this, you will be put to death. Just not the actual form of Misa. In the meantime, we saw this earlier in the Masechta. I mean, this is going back 3 months. But I found Megillah Starim. I found a hidden scroll in the yeshiva of Rav Chiya, Kasav Ba, Isi Ben Yehuda, and here's what's written on this Megillah Starim, where Isi Ben Yehuda Omer Avos Malachos Armem Chaser Achas Ve'enu Chayv El Achas. Now it says you're only going to be Chayv one carbon chatas if you violate all 39 Malachos. Now that can't be. Achas V'sula, the Gemara says that can't possibly be. Just one carbon chatas Ve'atzanan Avos Malachos Armem Chaser Achas. We're going to go over this again. Thankfully, which is that the Mishnah says that there are 39 malachos, the havinabah, and immediately the Gemara asked the question back in the 7th parak, minyan alamali, why give me a count? I'll count it myself. Where Rav Yochanan's response is, because if everyone does it, behelam echad, so you're going to be, if a person does all 39, behelam echad, he'll be chayv in each one of them. So now we're going to correct the Megillah Starim. What does Megillah Starim say? You're ainu chayv ella achas. You're only going to be, I'm sorry, ainu chayv al achas mehem. There is a mystery malacha, meaning there are 39 malachas on Shabbos. Of the 39 malachas, one of them is you're not going to be chayv a karban chatas if you violate it. Now, which one of it is? That's Megillah Starim. It's a hidden scroll. We don't know. So, but one of them you're not going to get, you're not going to bring a karban chatas. So, which one is it? So, if I ask you, give me the suspects of the 39 malachas, which ones are suspect to not having a carbon chata? So I would say your two prime candidates are hotzah, because as we learned time and again, it's a malacha grua, it's a inferior malacha. Or the other one would be, if I were trying to, you know, put them up in a lineup, which one would I put up? So, lighting a fire. Lighting a fire. The Gemara brings down an opinion, right? We talked about this, right? The Gemara brings down an opinion that lighting a fire, at least according to one Tana's viewpoint, is only a lav. It's not a carbon chatas. And so therefore, I'd put that as one of the suggestions. Meanwhile, good. All my deliberation is not going to help because we don't know. I mean, that's part of the Megillah Starim, is that there is one malacha you're not going to be chayv a karban chatas, and Megillah Starim says we don't know which one it is. But the point now is the following: Rav Yehuda pshita le'da ma'avir chayv. So according to Rav Yehuda, it's not ma'avir. I'll tell you that. In other words, even though that's a prime candidate, it's not, because the mekosha shetzim was put to death. So it can be ma'avir or ma'asitzim pshita le'da tolish chayv. And the Braisa says it's for sure not Tolish. Because, again, his opinion is that the Mekoshish was Tolish. And he was put to death. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Pshitalei Demamer Chayav. So, Man Savraham, Yad Lo Misafka, Man Savraham, Yad Lo Misafka. So, in other words, look, at least each respective position has no suffix that it's either going to be Ma'avir Dal Amos, or Tolish, or Ma'amir. Each one is sure that's not the candidate. So which one is it? Again, it's Megillah Starim. We don't know. Tana Rabbanan, we are, as long as we brought up the Mekoshesh, the Gemara has more to discuss about the Mekoshesh. So Mekoshesh Zeh Slavchad. So who is the Mekoshesh Eitzim? So the Torah doesn't tell us. The Gemara does. Right here, our daf now identifies who the Mekoshesh is. So it's Slavchad. V'cheinu Amar v'ayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar v'yimsu ish. They were in the desert and they was a man. Ulahalanu Omer Avinu Meis Bamidbar, and the daughters approaching Moshe said, "Our father died in the desert." So Malahalam Slavchad Afkan Slavchad Div Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva darshins using a Gzereshava that the Mekoshesh Eitzim. So it's a mystery of in terms of what malach he did, but according to Rabbi Kiva, it's no mystery who it was. It was Slavchad. Amala Rav Yehuda Ben Zera Akiva Ben Kach Ben Kach Ata Asid Litain Es Hadin. Rav Yehuda Ben Bezerra speaks very strongly to Rabbi Akiva and says, you shouldn't have done that. Should not have identified who it was. Atid Litain Es Hadin. In the future, you're going to have to answer for that, that you identified who it was. In Kenverach Atar Kisaso, meaning, let's say you're right. Torah didn't tell us who it is. So obviously, the Torah didn't want to reveal this information. V'ata Megalo So, and you're telling us. The Imlav, and let's say, let's go over the other option. Let's say you're wrong. Amata motze laz alo sotzanik. So now you're speaking. I wouldn't say lashon hara. It's not lashon hara. Lashon hara is when you're telling the truth. It's motzi shemra. Okay, good. So ve'ela ha'gamar gzera shava. So the Gemara says, okay, but in defense of Rabbi Akiva, he did have gzera shava. So the Gemara's response is gzera shava lo gamar. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra is of the opinion that no, he doesn't have he doesn't hold of such a gzera shava. Meaning, as Rashi explains, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra's answer is that a person cannot conjure up a gzera shava on his own. A gzera shava only works when you have it as a tradition from your rabbi. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra felt that there was no such tradition, and there's no such gzera shava. Ela mihecha hava. So now the Gemara says, okay, so what sin did he? So what did Slavcha do wrong? Meaning, look, if Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra says it's not Slavchan, and he doesn't hold to the Gzera Shava, but he died, and as Rashi points out, the Pasuk says, Ki bechet omes, the daughter said that he died with a sin. So if you're not holding like Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Akiva, you know what the sin was. He was a Mekosha Sheitzim. So if you don't hold like Rabbi Akiva, what exactly was the sin? So the Gemara tempers it a little bit, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra, Me'vayafilu hava. He was part of the group of Vayafilu. Who was the group of Vayafilu? So after the Chet HaMeraglim, so there was a group of Bnei Yisrael who said, let's try anyway. Meaning, I know Akash Baruch Hu said we're going to be here in the desert for 40 years, but you know what, though? Let's give it an old try. Let's go to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe said, don't do it. So this particular group said, no, let's do it. They tried, and they all died. So it's tempering the chait. In other words, we're not talking now Chilul Shabbos. We're talking about good motivation, the attempt to go to Eretz Yisrael, but wrong timing and against the instructions of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that was the chait of Slavchan.
The question is, why would he have gotten the portion, the daughters got the portion of the land then?
He's entitled. He's a member.
During that question, actually, in Bamloez, it says Slavchan saw that people were not taking the third name of the officer.
Yes.
He did self-sacrifice.
Correct.
By doing it, so it would get punishment, so people...
Correct. I saw the Midrashim as well. Okay, right. Yeah, okay, good, right. Good motivation, but obviously, you know, bad result. Amala Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra Akiva ben Kach, I'm sorry, what I do. Kayotze Badavar, second line down from the top of the Amud. Another circumstance where we're going to basically have the same give and take. Ata Omer Veichar Af Hashem Bam Vayelach. Okay, this is the end of Parshas Baloscha, where... Aaron and Miriam have some issues with their brother. Okay, family time now. So they have some issues with their brother, and they speak lashon hara about Moshe. Now this is lashon hara because it's true, and they spoke about Moshe. So Akadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, and we all know the consequence. Miriam gets saras. But you read the pasuk carefully. Vayichar af Hashem bam. Akadosh Baruch Hu gets angry with them. Meaning, it's not just Miriam who gets the brunt of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger, it's Aaron as well. Malamit Shaf Aaron Nitzar Div Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva goes one step further. It's not that just HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry at Miriam and Aaron, Aaron gets Saras. So, Amrullah Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra, and again, now we're going to have the same type of dialogue. Akiva ben Kachu ben Kacha Tasi Litenes Adin, Imke Dvarecha Hatar Kisaso, Viata Megala. Now, let's say you're right, Rabbi Akiva, but the Torah obviously didn't want to tell us this information. So if the Torah wasn't interested in telling us this information, so who are you to reveal this information to us? That's number one. V'im lavata, v'im lav, and let's say you're wrong. Atamotze la, zalo satanic. Okay, now you're being Moshe Shemra about Aaron saying that he got saras. V'ala haksiv bam. Okay, so now, in defense of Rabbi Akiva, the Torah does say the word bam. Now, if you're not with Rabbi Akiva, if you're with Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira, what do you do with the word bam? Ha'u b'nezifa bam. Yeah, and Akash Baruch Hu got angry at them, meaning he censored Miriam and Aaron. He put him in some sort of cherem. But in terms of tzaras, only Miriam received tzaras, not Aaron. Tanya Kaman Dam Raf Aaron Itzara. The Gemara has a braisa now that supports this position, Rabbi Kiva. The Aaron himself also got tzaras. Dirchseva Yifen Aaron El Miriam, he named it tzaras. And he turned. Now, what does that mean, he turned? Tanush Apanam Itzaraso. So the braisa here, as quoted, says that he turned from his tzaras, meaning he himself also was a recipient of tzaras. If you suspect somebody who does not deserve to be suspected, you are loke begufo, you will be, you'll get, not malchus, malchus is not the right word, but you'll get some sort of corporal punishment, some sort of punishment. It's interesting that you could say, I'm a little hesitant, obviously, but you could say that part of the Gemara's follow-up over here, this point over here, could be also going to Rabbi Akiva, meaning of Choshe B'Ksherim, because at least according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira, right, Rabbi Akiva is saying things about people that may or may not be true. And according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira, it's not true. So anyway, HaChoshe B'Ksherim lo kebegufa, dechziv, ve'ein lo ya'aminu li. Now, where do we see this? Last week's Farsha, where Moshe says about Bnei Yisrael, you know, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to tell them the story about me and Hashem and burning bush, and they're not going to believe me. The Galya kamei kutsha b'richa demam Bnei Yisrael. And Kadosh Baruch Hu obviously thought they would. So Moshe was in violation of this idea of Choshe B'Ksherim. So the Gemara says, Amar lo hein ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, they are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim v'yatayin tov chala amin. And you're the one who's going to have a lack of emunah. Hein ma'aminim d'chziv ayamin ha'am b'nei ma'aminim v'amin ba'Hashem. So we have psukim that cite that they're ma'aminim and they are b'nei ma'aminim. Atayin tov chala amin sh'nemar yan lo emantem bi lahakti sheni. Right, by the Meimariva. Mimai Dalaka, and how do we know that Moshe received Malchus, or not Malchus, but he was stricken because of his Choshe B'Ksherim? Because when Moshe asked for some simanim, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, sure, I'll give you a simon. And he put his hand into his shirt, and his hand comes out, and his hand has saras. Now, that wasn't just a simon, but that also was a punishment to Moshe on the fact that he was Choshe B'Ksherim. Amar Rav Avitam Rav Yosef Rav Chinan Mida Tova Memar Sova Mida Peranios. Mida Tova comes much quicker than Mida Peranios than destruction. Deilu Mida Peranios Ksiva Yotziu Vihina Yadom Tzaras Kashalik. So when it comes to Peranios, he took it out and his hand was white as snow. Deilu Mida Tova Ksiva Yotziu Mecheka Vihina Shava Kipsaro. Meaning once he put his hands back in, his hand is already healed. Meaning didn't he need to put his hand in and then take it out? Just simply in putting back in, already his hand is going to be healed. Mida Tova comes much quicker than Mida Ra. The staff of Aaron swallowed up the staff of the Chartumim Mitzrayim. Amar Rav Elazar Neis Besoch Neis. It was a miracle within a miracle. Rashi explains. La'achar shechazer, it's the last Rashi, last wide line in Rashi, four lines down. La'achar shechazer v'nasa mata bal'on. That after Aaron's staff turned back into a staff, meaning it turned into a snake, and then it turned back into a stick. And after it did that, it swallowed up the snakes of the Chartumim Mitzrayim. V'lo kishuhu tanin. The pasuk doesn't say that Aaron's snakes swallowed up their snakes. It says that the mate Aaron swallowed up their snakes. There was nes b'soch nes, a miracle within a miracle. Okay, we're finishing up now the short piece of Agadata, and now we're back to the halachic portion of today's daf. You'll remember back in the Mishnah, we had the following debate at the end of their Mishnah. We talked about passing from balcony to balcony in the Mishnah. If you look back at the Mishnah in Daf Tzadivav, so Kate such tegezushur zu kenegezu berushus harabim amoshi vazorik mizulazu pater. Hayu shtein b'diuta achas. Now we talked about this yesterday. I diagrammed this yesterday. If I have the two balconies on the same side of the street and I pass from one to the other, Hamoshit chayev. So if you do this act of moshit, so you're going to be chayev. Hazorik, but if you throw it, you're going to be pater. Shekar chaysa avoras ha-levim. Because this is what was done by the levim. Okay, that is the end of the Mishnah. Now, I did leave out an important part in terms of our discussion, and that is the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. I should have started a little bit earlier. I apologize. Anyway, I throw something from Rishos Yachid to another Rishos Yachid with the Rishos Rabbim right in the middle. Rabbi Kiva Mechayev, Chachamim Pochim. So Rabbi Kiva says you're going to be Chayev. And so now all we're going to deal with is for the rest of today's daf, pretty much, is a very simple question. You threw it through a Rishos HaRabim. So, did you throw it, right, on a rope? I don't know if you, those of you who speak baseball. In other words, was it a line drive? Was it like no arc whatsoever? Or did you throw it with an arc? Now, if you threw it with an arc, what does that mean? It means that it went above 10 tefachim. Now, we've gone over time and again, is that the Rishos HaRabim has a ceiling, not a physical ceiling, a legal ceiling. Rishos HaRabim does not go above 10 tefachim. Now, we already talked about earlier, and we're going to say it again today's daf, is that when you carry through Rishos HaRabim, even if you're holding the item up, that's still carrying in a Rishos HaRabim, because you're grounded in the Rishos HaRabim. So the item is in the Rishos HaRabim. But if you throw an item and it stays above 10 tefachim, the item is not in a Rishos HaRabim. So when our Mishnah talks this machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim about throwing an item over Rishos HaRabim, what does that over mean? Does that over mean within 10 tefachim? Or does it mean above 10 tefachim? The Gemara starts the discussion over here. Rishos HaYachid, Rishos HaYachid, by Rava, Lemata Me'asara Pligi. The debate in our Mishnah between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim is only within 10 tefachim. So in other words, it was a line drive. And the debate over here is hinging on this concept of kluta, where Rabbi Akiva says, because it is contained, absorbed in the Rishos HaRabim, even though it never stopped in the Rishos HaRabim, it's kemishoncha. It's like it's stationary in the Rishos HaRabim, and therefore you're going to be chayev. Aval lamala me'asara, but above 10 tefachim, according to everyone, you're going to be pater. The lo yalfin and zarek mi moshit. And that also means that there's no connection between the malach of zarek and the malach of moshit. Meaning, as I described in the beginning of today's daf, moshit is a very unique form of carrying. And it's so unique that there's nothing to learn from it. Meaning, it is uncharacteristic and therefore sets no precedent whatsoever. Moshit means I'm going to pass something from one Rishos HaYachid to another, and as we described yesterday, above 10 tefachim. But that's it. Meaning, we basically take the malach of Moshit, and we put it in the corner. And there's nothing to learn from it. And our debate over here between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim on the malach of Zorek is only within 10 tefachim. Hold on. Odilma lamala miyasara pligi. Or no. Maybe Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim are arguing, even if I throw it above 10 tefachim. Or perhaps, no. Really, our throw over here, from one Rishos HaYachid to another, through Rishos HaRabim, is above 10 tefachim. How would you be chayv? In what way would you be chayv, according to Rabbi Kiva? Because we're learning from the Malach of Moshit, where the Malach of Moshit is passing above 10 tefachim. So here also, if I throw something above 10 tefachim, this is going to be basically a tolad of Moshit, or a subcategory of Moshit. And that's why Rabbi Kiva would be Mechayev. Avalamatami yudivra akol chayev, but if it's below 10 tefachim, so then according to everyone, you'd be chayev. My time of kluta kemishoncha damya, because everyone subscribes to this rule of kluta kemishoncha. Okay, that was a very long presentation of a question. But basically, the question boils down to the following. Our Mishnah is talking about a throw from Rishos HaYachid to another through Rishos HaRabim. Is it above 10 tefachim? Or is that throw below 10 tefachim? If the throw is below 10 tefachim, so that means what they're arguing about is the concept of kluta. If the throw is above 10 tefachim, that would mean they all agree to kluta, but then they're arguing, do we learn from Moshe? Rabbi Kiva says yes, or Chachamim say no. I'm Rav Yosef, I'm Milsi, Baile, Rav Chista. So this question was posed to Rav Chista. And Rav Amnuna, who was there, presented the following answer based on the following. From one Rishus HaYachid to another, and you're going through a Rishus HaRabim. Now, it sounds just like our Mishnah, meaning what do we gain over here from this Braisa? One word. What's that one key word in this Braisa that we didn't see in our Mishnah? The word Atzma. Right? Va'over b'Rishus HaRabim Atzma, and it went through a Rishus HaRabim. Not just the Rishus HaRabim itself. Rabbi Kiva Mechai v'Chacham and Pochim. So midikam b'Rishus HaRabim Atzma p'shita l'malo mi'asara pligi. So the fact that the Braisa says Rishus HaRabim Atzma, it means we're going through the Rishus HaRabim, which means that the throw was below 10 tefachim, was a line drive. Now what are you talking about? Are we talking about carrying the item? Carrying the item, as I discussed a moment ago, it doesn't matter whether the item itself is above or below 10 tefachim. If you're actually walking the item, you're going to be chayiv when you go through Rishus HaRabim. As we learned in the Mishnah earlier in our Masechta, just a couple days ago, that if you carry an item, B'nai Kahas carried items, and the items that they were carrying were above 10 tefachim. So whenever you carry an item, you're going to be chayiv. Alalav bizarek. So it must be that you threw the item, and that means that the only chiv, Rabbi Kiva, is when you throw it within 10 tefachim. But that means that if it was above 10 tefachim, so then Rabbi Kiva would not hold that you're chayiv. Shma mina, b'klut ha-kemishun ha-pligi shma mina. So that means then that the whole debate in our Mishnah between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim is whether is the argument on the principle of Kluta. Rabbi Kiva subscribes to Kluta, the Chachamim do not subscribe to Kluta, and as far as learning from Moshit, we do not learn Zorik from Moshit. Now I know I said all that very quickly.
Yes.
Okay? Thank you. I know I said that very quickly. Okay, but that's, in other words, that's basically how it distills. Upligi de Rebbe Elazar. And now it argues with Rabbi Elazar. Damer Rabbi Elazar mechayv hayu Rabbi Akiva afilu lamala miyod. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. He says no. The debate in our Mishnah is above 10 tefachim. V'hai diktani v'shus Rabbi Matzma. Now you could say that, but what are you going to do with the brisa that we just quoted? The brisa that we just quoted said v'shus Rabbi Matzma. La'odicha kocha de Rabbanan. It's to show you how strongly the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Akiva. Right? In other words, that the Chachamim say that even if you're within 10 tefachim, it's still not going to find your chayv. Meaning it comes out that really, according to this viewpoint of Rabbi Elazar, there are really two side-by-side debates between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Meaning we're arguing about the principle of Kluta, and we're arguing about whether you can learn from Moshit. According to Rabbi Akiva, we learn from Moshit, which means that even if I pass it above 10 tefachim, you're going to be chayiv. And Rabbi Kiva also subscribes to the principle of Kluta, which means below 10 tefachim, you're going to be chayiv because of the principle of Kluta. And the Chachamim disagree on point A and point B, meaning the Chachamim don't learn out from Moshit, and the Chachamim also don't subscribe to this principle of Kluta. Okay, that's another opinion. And then, only to make matters just a little more complicated, we're going to now provide a third opinion. Look, if it's within three tefachim, everybody will agree that you're going to be chayiv. Because remember, we have this principle of lavan. Lavan tells us that anything within three is as if it's connected to the ground. So lamala miyasa divrei akol pater. And above 10 tefachim, everyone's going to say you're pater, because according to Rabbi Chilkiya bar Tuve, nobody learns from the malacha of Moshit. Moshit is above 10 tefachim, but this is Zorek. There's no Zorek does not apply when the item is thrown above 10 tefachim. Migimel v'ayod banu lamachlokas Rabbi Kiva v'rabbanan. From 3 to 10, that's where there's a debate between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Tayin amiyachi, the Gemara quotes a braisa that supports this as well. B'sochim al divrei akol chayev. Lemalam. Lamala miyudeinu chayev ala mishum shvus. V'ima yirishuyu shalom mutter. Now, if both rishuyas belong to you, it's going to be mutter. I will come back to that line in just a moment. Migimel v'yanasar, Rabbi Kiva mechayev chacham and potrim. And from 3 to 10, debate, machlokis between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, where Rabbi Kiva says you're going to be chayev because Rabbi Kiva subscribes to this idea of Kluta, And then the Chachamim say, no, I don't subscribe to this idea of Kluta. In other words, in order for an item to have rested in Rishus HaRabim, it needs to have actually rested in Rishus HaRabim. If I throw it through Rishus HaRabim, you're not going to be Chayev. So says the position of the Chachamim. Now, a couple things over here before we go on in the Gemara. Number one, the Gemara said that below three Tfachim, Divrei HaKol, you're going to be Chayev. Okay? Do you remember we said earlier, and it's going to come up again, Daf Kof, I believe, that even within three tefachim, it needs a hanacha, right? Remember how we just a couple of days ago, we talked about this. Even within three tefachim, your hand, in other words, it has to be resting on something, right? We said your hand would be acceptable if it's, but in other words, it needs to rest on something. And over here, it's not. Meaning, over here, it's flying through the air. Within three tefachim of the ground, and it didn't actually rest, so it bothers the Rishonim, right? In my notes, I have the Ritva ask this question, right? You'll find this question amongst many of the Rishonim. Why over here is the Gemara not regarding the idea that even according to the Chachamim, it needs some sort of resting spot? Okay, that's something to consider. Another thing, which just simple pshat in the Gemara, which I didn't explain, is if the Rishus belong to you. It's mutter legamri, it's totally permissible. Okay, I own two houses. Right, one on this side of the street, one on the other side of the street. According to the Chachamim, when I throw an item, and I throw an item above 10 tefachim, so again, the Chachamim don't learn out from Moshe, so no malach over there. The Chachamim don't subscribe to Kluta Kemishon Cha, but even though they don't subscribe it, they're not going to advocate to throw it within 10 tefachim because you're throwing it in a Rishus HaRabim. But the Braisa says that if I throw it above 10 tefachim, and I'm throwing it from my house to my house, they just happen to be on different sides of the streets, the Braisa says it is mutter. Now, there's a big difference between pater versus mutter. Pater means it's asur midrabanan. Mutter means it's totally permissible. What's the difference? Why is it that if the houses belong to two different people, it's asur, but if the houses belong to the same person, it's mutter? The answer is pretty straightforward, but I'm just spelling it out. Right, this is just simple pshat in the Gemara. Because, as we'll learn over the course of Masechta Erevin, I can transfer from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah owned by different people. Okay. We make an Erev, so then we're going to unite. But in other words, to go from one Rosh Hashanah to another, that's an Issur D'Rabbanan. So to throw from my house to somebody else's house, going through a Makom Pater above 10 Tefachim, that will be asur midrabanan. But going from my house to my house, same owner, and I'm going from one rishus yachid, not to somebody else's rishus yachid, but to my rishus yachid, that's essentially transferring from my living room to my dining room, right? It's the same. It happens to be that I'm throwing the item, and I'm throwing the item above 10 tefachim. Now, if you don't learn out from Moshe, and you don't subscribe to the principle of Kluta, above 10 tefachim, there's no principle of Kluta anyway, so then all we're talking about is, basically, the item traveling through a makam pater. Well, a makam pater is exactly that. It's a makam pater. It's an area that's not a Rishus Yachin, not a Rishus Rabim, it's not a Carmelist, it's nothing. We talked about this at the beginning of the Masechta. You're allowed to transfer from a Rosh Hashanah to a Makom Pater. So over here, I'm going Rosh Hashanah, Makom Pater, to my Rosh Hashanah. That's why the Braisa says Mutter. Okay. Let's go on in the Gemara. Amar.
You can't throw a boomerang.
It comes back to you. Amamari Maya Rishui Shalomoto, Lema Tavatuf to the Rab, Did Marshne, Batam Shne, Sid Rishus Rabim, Rava Baravuna, Amarav, Amar, Ostel Lazok Mizelazel, Shmuel Amar Mutal Lazok Mizelazel. So the Gemara says, even though the Braisa said you're not allowed to, I'm sorry, you are allowed to do it, but then the Gemara brings a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, says, at least according to Rav, you're not allowed to do it. So now what do you want to tell me? That Rav argues with the Braisa? Now, we've discussed this before. Rav, it happens. Rav could argue with the Braisa. But the Gemara, if the Gemara can avoid that, the Gemara would love, always loves to avoid that. So, So the Gemara says, yeah, Rav says it's Asur. Do you know when Rav says it's Asur? When the houses are not aligned. Meaning that one is higher, one is lower, and we're afraid that you're not going to make the throw. And it's going to end up sitting there in the Rishus HaRabim, and you're going to end up picking it up. meaning for fear that it's not going to be a successful throw, that's why Rav is going to ask her. But if we're confident that the throw will be a good throw, if the two houses are aligned with one another, so then even Rav would say it's fine. The Gemara over here asks an interesting question. This idea of lavud being within three tefachim. How do I know that anything within three tefachim is as if it's connected? Where do we know this concept of lavud from? Now, it's funny. As the Gemara is asking this question, I'm thinking to myself, I know the answer. It's halacha l'moshe misina, right? And at least that's what I thought. In other words, in part why I thought that is because the Gemara in Sukkah taught us that halacha l'moshe misinai, all shiurim, all chatzitzin, all rules regarding mechitza is halacha l'moshe misinai. So it's funny, I thought that would be the Gemara's answer. Now, Baruch Hashem, my memory is somewhat intact, somewhat. That will end up being the Gemara's answer, but the Gemara has a number of interesting suggestions before arriving at that answer. So the Gemara's first answer is, well, you know, there's no such thing as an even road. Okay? In other words, especially for those of us who come from the Northeast, I mean, right, the potholes of the Northeast, remember the good old days? So so there's no such thing as an even road. So there are going to be bumps and ditches within every road. So in other words, it can't be that a Rishus HaRabim is only the part that's level with the road. But if there's a little bump in the road, oh, that's not part of the Rishus HaRabim. Can't be. Misvara. Just from a logical argument, you have to entertain the idea that every road's got bumps and little recesses inside, and that's part of the Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara's first answer is Svara. Just logic. Ihachi Gimel Nami. Well, the Gemara says, well, once you're at the will of logic, so then got to be careful with logic. Because once you're at the will of logic, so then the argument can extend. Oh, it has to be within three tefachim, really? And the bump exactly three tefachim high is also not part of the Rishus HaRabim? Meaning you'll find a bump in the Rishus HaRabim that's at three tefachim. So v'su adenana, mishash ha-defans melamal ha-lamata, im hein gavon min ha-arishash ha-tefachim psula, ha-pachuz migim ha-ksheira. And not only that, but you think this is an issue of, well, there's no such thing as an even road. You think that's the argument that explains the whole concept of lavud? What about the following? I make the walls of my sukkah. Here's my wall of the sukkah. And I drop it, and the wall doesn't actually hit the ground. We're obviously suspended by poles. And it's within three tefachim of the ground. You know what the halacha is? Lavud. Meaning that my wall hits the ground. You may not see it, and I may be able to pass something underneath the wall, but lavud tells me that my wall hit the ground. Now, how does my logical argument of, well, you know, the Rishus HaRabim is always going to have bumps in it, that's going to explain the halacha of the wall? So, how some hainu tamei mishum davi le mechitza shagdim bo kimba? So the Gemara says, well, there I can give you also a logical argument. You know why that's a wall? Because a gedi, a goat, can't get underneath the wall. Meaning, the definition of a wall is, it has to impede progress from point A to point B. Now, I could pass little items underneath, but a goat can't come in, and who wants to be sitting on sukkahs next to a goat? So, in other words, if it impedes the goat's progress, so that means it's a wall. So the Gemara is now trying to offer a logical argument why that should also work as well. Tenech lamata lamaika lameimar. The Gemara says, good. So you've wonderfully explained to me the concept of lavud as a wall is approaching the ground. But what about the idea of lavud, meaning on the top? What does that mean, on the top? So Rashi explains, lamala hecha damin lavud, lamala bekama duchtin. Rashi says, this idea of lavud working, going upwards, is found in many places. Rashi says, let me give you one example. Kigon. Magifin gimel chavalim de'eravinu kigon shirchik es asichach min advanz gimel tfachim psula. Rashi here gives two examples. Well, example number one of Rashi. I want to make a sukkah. So what do? I take three ropes, and rope number one, within three tefachim of the ground. Rope number two, within three tefachim of rope number one. Rope number three, within three tefachim of rope number two. And what have I created? A sukkah. A sukkah with three ropes? Yep. Right? Walls with three ropes? Sure. Meaning, because the concept of love, it tells us that rope, as long as the ropes are within three tefachim one another, it's closed. It's a closed gap. And now that has nothing to do with the explanation of Gedim Bokimbo. of the goats impeding the progress of the goats. Okay, in other words, you're basically talking about something that looks like a boxing ring, and that's a wall. Or Rashi gives another example. The schach is right up against the wall, but not touching the wall. It's within three tefachim of the wall. That has nothing to do with Gedim Bokim Bo. And that works. So the Gemara says, Ella, here we go. Here's where my memory actually worked. Ella kopachos mishoshe kalav adami hechza gemir ella. Talach l'moshe misinai, says the Gemara. It's part of the tradition. Right, when the Rambam talks about Torah Shabbat Peh, the Rambam breaks up into five different categories. So this is, according to the Rambam, category number two. Halach l'moshe misinai. You're not going to find it in any pasuk. It's not based on any drasha. It's just simply part of the corpus of Torah Shabbat Peh. It was given directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara now discusses further the idea of throwing from point A to point B through another rishos. Here we're going to have now what's that thing called when you take a picture and you before you develop the film? The negative, right? So here you have the inverse of what we discussed in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was discussing throwing from one Rishos Yachid to another Rishos Yachid through a Rishos Arabim. Now in this Braisa, we're going from Rishos Arabim to another Rishos Arabim with a Rishos Yachid right in the middle. Okay, so I'm throwing through Rishos Yachid. So Rabbi Mechayev, Chachamim Potrim. So Rabbi says, Chayev, the Chachamim Seir Potter. Now, Rav Shmuel Damir Tavai, Lo Chayev, Rabbi, Allah Rishos Yachid. Mekur Damir, a basic command, Damaya Dami. Now, what you could have done is just simply say, oh, this Rabbi over here, who says, Chayev, that's Rabbi Kiva of our Mishnah. Meaning it's one and the same. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is, no, don't do that. Meaning that's not necessarily the pshat of Rabbi. But rather, Rav Shmuel explained that when Rebbe says Yerchayev over here, we're talking about throwing it not over a house, but through a house. Now, we talked about this before. It's important to realize that when you have a Rishus HaYachid, so Rishus HaYachid is basically any item that's 4x4, right? Yeah, I got it. Any item that's 4x4 and 10 tefachim high. Now, once you have a Rishus HaYachid, how high does the Rishus HaYachid go? Ad infinitum. There is no, in other words, once you have a status of Rishus Yachid, its status just simply goes up and it ascends. And so therefore, if I throw an item over a house, it went through Rishus Yachid. So one could have argued that this scenario over here is where I threw it over the house. What Rav and Shmuel say is no, that's not the case over here. When Rebbe says you're chayiv, it does not mean you threw it over the house, you threw it through the house. One window was open here, one window was open here, and it was a good throw, and you made it right through the house. And this is a principle. Now, how high up over here is going to be irrespective, because I'm standing in the Rishos HaRabim, and the Rishos HaRabim on the other side. The Rishos HaRabim has a ceiling of 10 tefachim. Rishos HaYachid has no ceiling, no legal ceiling. In other words, Rishos HaYachid continuously goes up. But what Rav and Shmuel now are saying is that when I threw it, I didn't throw it over the Rishos HaYachid, I threw it through the Rishos HaYachid. And there's another principle over here, not Kluta Kemishoncha, like we discussed earlier today, and not that we're learning from Moshe, because that's nothing to do with what we're talking about right now, but there's another principle of Besa Keman Demaya Dami, because when you have a house, we view the house as if the house is filled up. So in other words, I'm throwing through a solid, right? So to say, meaning the house basically turns halachically into one big solid. I'm throwing it through the air, right? I'm throwing it through the airspace of the house. But because the house has a roof and I'm throwing it into the house, it's ki'ilu, it's as if I'm throwing it now on something which is real and solid. Basic command, demal yadami. Aval she'ena makura lo, lo. But if the house does not have a roof over the top, so then we don't have this principle of basic command demalia dami, and I guess we don't use the principle of kluta kamisha huncha, and so therefore it's Rebbe would not be chayiv in such a situation. Amrav Chanab Amrav Yehuda Amr Shmuel Mechayiv Hayarebi Shtayim Achas Misham Atzam Achas Misham Hachnasa, and now we get to another discussion in this case. How many karbanos are you going to have to bring? Think about it. We have now thrown from Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim through a Rishus HaYachid. So how many transfers are we talking about over here? Really, two. Because one is from the Rishus HaRabim to the house, and then there's a second one from the Rishus HaYachid, the house, to the Rishus HaRabim. Well, you're hitting on almost the right. You're hitting almost on the right issue. Just we're going to just tweak it a little bit. The achas misham achna, achas misham otzav, achas misham achnasa. One is otzav, the other is achnasa. Now, to be totally technical, just for a moment, we're going to reverse it. Meaning, but what's otzav? Otzav is taking something from a house to a rishus harabim. What's achnasa? Taking something from a rishus harabim to a house. So on this throw, we threw rishus harabim to rishus yachin to rishus harabim. So it's first achnasa, then otzav. Right, you follow me? Okay. Yosef Rav Chanan v'kakasha lei lememra. So here's what bothers the Gemara. We're now on the top of Sadi Zayin Amud Beis. The Mechayev Rebbe Atalot ben Malkamav. Now, what just happened over here? Yesterday's daf, we learned together that hachnasa is a subcategory of hotza. So now, essentially, what you're saying here is, look, I definitely agree with you. There was hotza and there was hachnasa. But by you saying that you're chayv two karbanos, so now you're telling me that if I violate Shabbos with an av and it's tolada, I'm chayv two. But yesterday we learned that that's not correct. Well, that's not the majority position. The consensus position is that when I violate an av and it's tolada, I'm chayv only one. So the Gemara says, and now you want to tell me that Rebbe subscribes to this position, which, if I remember correctly, is Rebbe Eliezer's position yesterday, where you're chayav on tolada b'makom of, and you want to put Rebbe in that camp? Gemara says, it's strange. So the Mechayev Rebbe atolada b'makom av, atanya Rebbe amar dvarim hadvarim ela dvarim. And not only is that strange, but I'm going to show you that Rebbe doesn't subscribe to that idea. Because we're going to go back to a Gemara that we saw earlier in the Masechta. Dvarim ha-dvarim, Eila ha-dvarim. This is Eila Lamatas Malachas, Shanam Lamosh B'Sinai. These are the third nine Malachas. Remember how we got there? The word Eila, Gematria.
35.
I made the same mistake last time also. The word Eila is 36. Okay, and the Eila ha-dvarim. So the word Dvarim is 2, right? So in other words, 37, 38. And the Hey, 39. Okay, that takes us to the 39 Malachas. So, and, sorry. Shenem Lamosh Mesina Amalei Rav Yosef Amar, I'm sorry, period. And what does that mean, 39 Malachas? Meaning, that's it. A person maxes out at 39. Well, what do you mean you max out at 39? Can't you do an Av and all of its various Tolados? Well, sure you can. But you're only going to be chayiv 39 karbanos. Because you're only going to be chayiv on an av, and if I violate an av and it's tolada, I'm only going to be chayiv one karban. So now, basically, square one. Meaning, I understand the Rebbe's mechayiv, but this idea that Rebbe's mechayiv two karbanos, that I don't understand. Yeah? But the Gemara doesn't say that.
You're going from
the Gemara says that achnas is a tolada of hotza.
I understand that, but the thing is that there are two avs of
No. It's the going from the street to the house. That is hachnasa. Going from the house back to the street. That's hotza. Think about it. So Amalei Rav Yosef Mara Hamasni Levikashile Derebi Adarebi Anan Adarebi Yehuda Masni Son Velo Kashila. So you know you got to a dead end because you thought that statement of Yehuda Mashmo is going on Rebbe. We learned the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Mashmol going on a statement made by Rabbi Yehuda, and so for us it poses no problem. Ditanya, and let's go through a little bit more for today. Mirshus Yach leRishus Harabim vaArvar Arba Amos beRishus Harabim. I go from Rishus Yach to Rishus Harabim plus concurrently I'm going four Amos in a Rishus Harabim. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayv Chachamim Potrim. So here Rabbi Yehuda says you're going to be Chayv, the Chachamim say you're going to be Potter. And on this, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul Mechayv Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim Achas Mishum Atzav Achas Mishum Havara. And in this case, we're going to say that you're going to be Chayv two Karbanos. Now, because why? Because do you think that they're really arguing about the first act Mechlal de Rabbanim Patra Lagamre. Well, that makes it sound like the Chachamim say you're Patra Lagamre. Ha'apik Lemer Shasiach L'Rishas HaRabim. But look what you did. You took something out from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So it's got to be that everyone's in agreement you're Chayiv one. The only debate is, are you going to be Chayiv a second Karban Chatas on the extra act of carrying Dal Amos Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara says, Mimai, Dilma la olam emelachav Rav Yehuda chadu in the Mechayiv Rabban Pacha legamri. Perhaps you could suggest no. That what you rejected just a moment ago, maybe that's right. Maybe they're arguing about whether you're chayv a carbon at all. Where Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the principle of kluta, and since your machshava was, it should rest the moment it leaves the house. Well, halakhically, it did. Because of this principle of kluta. And according to the Chachamim, your intent was that it rests later. I'm sorry, your intent was that it rests the moment it leaves your house. It didn't, neither physically nor halachically, and therefore...
At the higher bus, we're just going to wait a few minutes to start davening. Only probably about 5 minutes or so.
The boss called knew I needed a couple more minutes. you understand. So the Isaf de Machshavasa of I told him a Malkum Av Lo Mechayev Rabbi Yehuda. But in other words, according to the Chachamim, maybe you're not chayev at all because your intent was that it shouldn't land. It should land the moment it leaves the house. It didn't. It didn't satisfy your intent. Remember, to be chayev on Shabbos, your action has to agree with your intent. So, and maybe they're arguing about whether you're chayev a karban at all. That is the Gemara's suggestion. And the Gemara is going to end up rejecting the suggestion. So let's quickly review. Oof, that's a lot today. Yeah. Thank God. Okay, in today's daf, we tried to identify who the Mekoshesh was and whether Aaron got Saras. A couple of very interesting minutes of Agadata. Rabbi Kiva felt it was appropriate to identify. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseret says it's not appropriate to identify. And then we discussed, let's say, three basic concepts today in terms of the Malach HaVotzah. The concept of Kluta, Rabbi Kiva essentially subscribes to, the Chachamim does not, although I'm simplifying, not everyone agrees to what I just said. Okay, the principle of Kluta Kamishoncha, that when something's in airspace, it's as if it's rested in that airspace, but that's only works when I throw within 10 Tfachim. If I throw above 10 Tfachim, we don't have the principle of Kluta. Basic command Amalia, if I throw something through a house, it's as if the air of the house is stale and rigid, and it's as if the item landed. Basic command Amalia, Dami. Rabbi subscribes to the principle of the Chachamim do not. And the other thing which we're discussing right now is Hachnasa being a Tolada of Hotsa'a. And so therefore, even when I violate both, am I going to be chayev one carbon or two carbonos? And right now, we're entertaining the idea that at least according to Rebbe, you'd be chayev two carbonos, and the Gemara is going to try to sidestep that. Okay, those are the three big issues which we covered over the course of today. Everyone have a wonderful day. Refuah Shleima to Binyamin Zeva Cohen Ben Sharon Rivka, and Refuah Shleima to Avram Rafal Ben Adis Itka. ובכנה בן הקשר מראה, שקשבר חוזק, וסוף איך, אחיר, בן תורמצו, שנמר נכה, פיצה מנתיקו, יגדיל תורה וידיר.